Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard Bassett.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, and this is Undomesticated.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Sports Talk on WQAM is presented by Paramount Plus. Can't count on much these days, Leroy. But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. I heard we're doing those ads for that Landman. I started watching that show. That show is just Billy Bob Thornton with one-liners, basically in a Texas accent the entire show. Can't get enough of it, though. Love it. Love it.
He's been out for a while, right?
Billy Bob Thornton?
Yeah.
Well, it's season 2, so he was doing he did the previous season. I don't know what he was doing before that. I think he did Fargo. Didn't he do a season of Fargo? I think he did one time. You know, he shows up. He kind of pops up, does his thing whenever. But it's basically just quippy one-liners. Kind of a lot like Tulsa King, to be honest with you. Except it's in Texas, and instead of running the mafia, it's about oil. Demi Moore is doing a lot more this season because, spoiler alert, again, spoiler alert, her husband John Hamm dies at the end of season 1. So now she's taking over the oil company.
Wait, why did John Hamm die?
Heart attack. Too much stress being the landman. Well, he wasn't the landman, being the oil CEO. And while he died, spoiler alert, Jerry Jones stopped by the hospital. And Jerry Jones gave one of the all-time monologues talking about his life. And we didn't realize that Jerry Jones is quite the thespian.
How are you going to say that? The guy doesn't even know the difference between a ballet and a play.
Does he not?
No.
I didn't know that.
No.
I didn't know that. Yeah, well, I mean, he's good about talking about himself. I mean, as Jerry Jones is definitely an expert at that. Nick T says, Tobin is John Honeyham.
Point four.
That was great. That was good.
I don't even like honey ham. Well, I like honey ham cold cuts. I don't like honey ham like a honey baked ham.
But nah, that's the best ham.
I disagree, dude. I gotta
for
be
sandwiches
honest
afterwards.
No,
that Thanksgiving ham the next day, delicious.
Anyway, before we got deterred on how Tobin likes Petty Hub, Paul Feinbaum, we never got to play his clip. He is upset with the playoff committee, also at Notre Dame.
There is a bias. Let's just go ahead and admit it. And this committee, I have no earthly idea why they can't move beyond it, because they're supposed to be objective. But it just seems like let's always give Notre Dame the loss. And I feel badly for Miami. They got knocked out last year. They were the last team out along with Alabama. They did some of it to themselves. But they beat Notre Dame. Shouldn't head-to-head matter in college football or in any sporting event, but apparently to this committee, it does not matter at all.
Wow, I really feel like the meme. You ever see the meme of the worst person you know makes a great point? I don't like my ally here, but wow! Good job, Paul Feinbaum. I saw, like, there was this quote yesterday from one of these yahoos who's, like, putting the committee together, and they were asked about the head-to-head between Miami and Notre Dame, and it was basically like they hit us with a, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. And I was like, so it doesn't matter now, but it will matter? Like, that's where we're at?
Yeah, I agree with them.
Yeah.
Because let the season finish out, and they both have the same amount of losses, then the head-to-head is going to matter.
They're not going to do it.
I just think they're – what – to get caught up in this now doesn't matter. But what's happening is, if you notice, they're moving them closer and closer together.
Same cluster.
Right. So that when it gets to that point, I think they will make that move. So from that standpoint, until it doesn't happen, to do it with two more games left, let's just wait before we act. The playoffs don't start this week.
This was CFP committee chair Hunter Juracek.
Know what he is.
Oh, come on, Hunter? Your Hunter, first name is Hunter.
Hey.
That name Hunter is a last name for us.
Hey, that's no non-intangibles name Hunter.
That's a last name for us.
Last name.
Best last absolutely. Name Hunter. Torrey Hunter?
Torrey last Hunter. Name.
Paul Hunter. Yeah. Hunter is a last name for us, not a first name.
This is what he said. I think when you look at it, Reese, at Notre Dame and Miami, we really compare the losses of those two teams. Miami has lost to two unranked teams. Notre Dame has lost to two teams that are ranked in our top 13. So we really haven't compared those two teams. They haven't been in similar comparative tools or competitive pools to date. But Miami is creeping up to the range where they will be compared to Notre Dame if something happens above them. On the head-to-head, he says, I think you look at what happened this week when we compared Alabama and Oklahoma in a similar spot where 8-9-10, we were comparing those teams. Oklahoma obviously got the nod with their two-point win at Alabama. So if Miami and Notre Dame are in a comparable tier and a comparable range, the head-to-head will be a significant data point that we will use.
Can I tell you what they're doing? You want me to tell you what they're doing?
They're letting everything play out.
No. I'm going to tell you what they're saying, Vlad. We don't trust Miami going to win the last two games anyway, so
okay.
It's not going to matter.
Leroy, you took my point exactly right before Tobin said
that. If you want to know what the committee is saying,
absolutely.
That's what the committee is saying.
I've seen it before in the past couple of years that Miami
correct.
Will stumble down the stretch.
Correct.
So before I put them in any pool with other teams, let me see how they finish out these last two games. Because if they win, then I can compare them against Notre Dame, and the
correct.
Win against Notre Dame will matter. But
yes.
By their history, let us wait. I agree. That's exactly what I was going to say.
That's what they're saying.
They basically
like, you can read however you want into it. You can read we get in the shaft. You can read nothing. Here's what the committee is saying. Don't put Miami above Notre Dame until they win the last two games. Then we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But they haven't proven that they can finish out the season strong. So it'll be a moot point.
And they didn't do that last season.
Yeah, but what if nothing? What even if they win their last two games, they're not guaranteed to get into the conference championship. But
they're
they
going
still,
above Notre
they
Dame.
They could still get hope. Well, that's what the hope is, but we don't know that because they could go there. They could say, "Well, you don't."
What
he did was
dude,
what he did.
You listen, I'm, why you have selective
why,
hearing?
Okay, I don't have selective hearing because
you
was,
do.
I was reading. But what's to stop them from saying that? Because they said already, well, we're not comparing it at this time. Maybe it'll be a significant data point when we get to that bridge. And look, I understand the idea. Miami could blow it. They got Virginia Tech on the road, and they got two road games against two ACC teams. Of course, that's wheelhouse of Miami to blow it. I understand that. But you also have to be in the realm of, okay, well, what if they don't get a chance to win their conference? They could also use that as an exit ramp because they did last year too.
No, Notre Dame's not in the conference either. So all we're talking about right now, and this is the point, this is all we're talking about. We ain't talking about nothing else. Why isn't Miami above Notre Dame? That's it. And what will happen if Miami wins their last two games, they'll move above Notre
it's
Dame.
It's still a dumb thing to me. I'm just never going to get over the idea, Leroy, that beating a team doesn't matter. It just it's never gonna here, comparing losses, comparing to beating a head to head game when you have the same record. It's just never gonna make sense to me. I will let you speak. Let me just finish my point. I swear to God, I'm gonna let you jump in, and you act like I'm not going to. It's never gonna sit right with me in sports. Beating a team with the same record in every league on every planet is always the biggest tiebreaker. I've never heard anything in my life as dumb, and they've been doing this with the sport. I swear I'm going to let you get in. They've been doing this with the sport for years about just making it up subjectively that the way you lose matters more than the way you win. It's dumb.
Okay. Now, let's start with how we got to this moment. Okay? Miami was number 2. Notre Dame was number 9 or 10 even. Then Miami lost and they went to 9. And I think Notre Dame was 10 or 8 because all the teams were losing. Then Miami lost again and dropped to 19. Okay. So when you look at when they lost, Miami had a much longer path to get back to this spot where they could even be compared. So you can't just say, okay, we have the same amount of losses, we should be above them, when you're coming from 19 and they're already sitting at 10. You already took that deep drop. Now you got to work your way back.
But they're
back
all
up.
Just subjective.
Now they're close.
They're all. It's all just a shell game, though. Like you're comparing.
That's how it happened.
Yeah, and it's a dumb system. That's my But my overall point has been it's a dumb system. It's a dumb system.
Two unranked teams back to back.
Put them wherever.
Where should they have been?
I don't know. Put them at 15. Put them at 19. It doesn't matter. The point is Notre Dame shouldn't be above them when they lost to them with the same record. Because you're going to sit here and build up Miami and say, well, when they won, they were top 10. It's like, well, they were still – hold on. You guys lost to a double-digit underdog. Like, and you're acting now all of a sudden like, ah, it's not a blemish. Well, what is it?
So did Miami.
That's my point, though. You're saying that they're upholding right now saying, ah, their losses aren't that bad. Here, well, pick what you want because so
would,
Vegas –
would you think this? Okay, let's put it this way. If a team is in the top 10 and they lose to another ranked team, their drop is not going to be as significant as a team in the top 10 that loses to an unranked team. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So the drop that Notre Dame had when they lost was not as significant as the drop of losing back-to-back weeks to two unranked teams.
But that's
teams.
Just because they preseason ranked them that way. Like, it's not – it has nothing to do with nothing. They just put them – like, that's the thing. It's the same thing with the SEC. They just put these arbitrary numbers to start, so you can't
– all I'm doing is explaining
you're explaining
the situation
things,
is you're explain, what it is
but,
right now.
Yeah, but your explanation is not the point. The point is it's a dumb system that, you know, in what world in sports does not beating a team mean as much as who you lose to?
Do you understand how it happened?
Yeah, and the Canes.
It's not the end of the season. The Canes, I can understand. I can understand.
The Canes are already suffering their consequence on that, though. They're not going to win their conference, but they beat Notre Dame. So Notre Dame should have no argument against them.
I can understand if this was the last week. You have a valid argument because we're arguing about the playoff. You still have 2 more weeks.
Okay, so in 2 weeks, you will agree I'm right.
They all, but that's what I'm saying. The commissioner.
They've already told you what they're going to do.
They said if both teams.
No, that's what they say they might do.
No, they basically. But here's the thing. And like Leroy said, the caveat is they like to see how Miami finishes these next 2 weeks. That's basically what they're saying. If Miami finishes out and wins these next 2 games and they both finish with the same amount of losses, then the Miami win over Notre Dame in week 1 is going to have precedence. And Miami will be in the college football playoff picture. That's it. That's what they're basically saying. But because of Miami's history over the past few years, it's not a guarantee.
Whose history, though? Like, the season is the season. Like, this is another thing that I'll just never get.
No.
Like, they're just making it up. The season is the season.
Saying, no, Tobin, if Miami loses a game, there's no argument, right? You're gonna have three.
Nobody would say here if there wasn't the same record, and they would have two more losses.
Let's have this argument if after they win the next two games.
That's what I'm saying. When they win the next two games, if Notre Dame doesn't lose and they both finish with the same amount of losses, that win over Notre Dame is gonna matter.
You guys don't think it's a little silly though, because like if you do want to go back to
the middle of the season,
you guys don't think it's a little silly going back to last year, like they lose to a nondescript program in their building and it didn't cost them.
And here's one thing I will give you, okay? The fact that Notre Dame starts so high means that they have more room for error. So when they lose that first week or lose to that stinker and they drop, they're not going to drop as low because they were ranked so high. So the rest of the season, they can build back up. And when the carnage happens in front of them, then they just keep moving up. That much I'll give you. I agree with that, that why is Notre Dame always ranked so high? However, when you lose to two unranked teams and you fall to damn near 20, your road to get back to 13 is more substantial. And now that you're back there, you win your last two games, then we can have this argument. But the argument up to this point is why is Notre Dame higher? It's simply because when you lose to two unranked teams, regardless of where you're ranked, you're going to drop so far that you have more ground to gain to get back into the picture.
But again, my whole point on this has not been that the Canes are getting screwed. It's been that
How are they getting screwed?
It has not been that the Canes have been getting screwed. It's stupid that Notre Dame gets this safety net the entire time. And that was Paul Feinbaum's point, is like they always get the benefit of the doubt every single year. And it's like when they get a blemish, it's not that big a deal. And it's like, well, so everybody,
you
so
know,
everybody else, when they
to that. There's a solution.
If you're
going to
say win games, just like, please.
Don't put the committee in that situation.
It's the lamest thing ever. Why? This is the system. Because this is the system. Nobody can control it yourself. Dude, come on. Like, fewer people are finishing.
You lost to two unranked
teams. This isn't 2004, dude. People don't finish undefeated anymore.
No, okay, but you lost to two unranked teams back to back.
Ohio State and Indiana.
What are you expecting? Like, what are you expecting? You lost to two teams back to back that were unranked. And you can't, when you have those two losses, you can't come complain about the ranking.
But you're talking about this.
You can't.
You're talking about the timing. So if the Canes would have lost those games early on and made it up and beat Notre Dame this past week, then it wouldn't have been in anybody's mind. Like, the only thing that they're doing is just because it was at the timing of the game, which is stupid.
And you make that
game out to be the biggest game ever when those games go down. You make it seem like it's the college football opening Super Bowl.
The closer you get to the playoff, the better football you should be playing. In the last 2 years, the closer they've gotten to the playoffs, the worse Miami has played. That is not anybody's fault other than Miami.
Nobody's debating that.
Okay. Two out of three. I'm sorry, not back-to-back. Sorry. Two out of three.
How much did you love Rudy?
I love Rudy Huxtable.
I never saw Rudy.
I love Rudy Huxtable.
Take a break.
I never saw Rudy.
Couldn't tell by your shamrock undies on right now.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness. This is why you can't have the Vlad.
Rats on the Shrimp is next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, former Real Housewife of Potomac.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, author of the New York Times bestseller, I Can't Date Jesus. And this is Undomesticated. The podcast where we aren't just saying the quiet parts out loud.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. If you're ready for some bold takes and a little bit of chaos, welcome to Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.